Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh, hallelujah. Boy, Grace Place helps me. I just want to encourage you, if you're newer guests or whatever, if you're observing, what we're attempting to do today is focus on the good things. Focus on the Word of God. Focus on the promises of God and transcend the madness that's in our lives and live by faith. Live believing rather than all the bad news. Believe the good news. Jesus is the good news. And so many of us have been through so much. You are sitting, if you're a guest today, you are sitting among drug addicts and alcoholics and creepy people and many, many people around you are mentally unstable, emotionally bruised, some serious screwballs. We got some real screwballs in this church. People that have been really hurt and messed up. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we could be all of us in an insane asylum somewhere or with our heads under our pillow and not coming out. But because God dealt with us through all of our mess and carried us through our mistakes and the dumb decisions we've made, we're here today saying, I think I should give credit to God because I'm not here because I'm smart. Not here because I'm disciplined. I'm not here because I have a great pedigree. I'm here because God has been really faithful to me. And when I gave up on myself, He did not give up on me. When I quit and laid down and gave up, He came by and picked me up out of my despair. It's almost like He made me a success. What a good God. What a good God. You're also sitting among people that are suffering desperately. People that just prayed with Mary, whose brother passed away this week from a brain tumor. And precious Adriana. You know, her daughter would come and visit our house with my granddaughters, and I don't know that she didn't know that she's not family. I think she thinks we're family. I don't think she's looked at my skin color. She doesn't know what color I am, Adriana. She don't know. I love that. And my kids don't know either. I love that. But she just lost her mother. You just lost your mother. And here we are celebrating a few days after that service. And that's because God. There's something about God that's bigger than us. He's bigger than us. So you're seated today among broken people. And so that you don't think we're just all a bunch of crazy high. We're real people with real stuff that God's been good. God's been real good. Let me see your hand if you can testify that He's been good to you. God, not a figment of your imagination, but God has been good to you. Let me, one more time. Look down here, God. We recognize. Here's a bunch of people that say, glory to God. Thank God. Amen. Just got a note from the kitchen. Next Sunday, the lunch is provided for. We feed everybody who wants to have lunch. We feed breakfast and lunch if you're a guest. And if you're hungry, before you go, we'll have lunch today. Next week's lunch is covered, but we need someone to volunteer right now that'll take a week from now. Just two or three of you raise your hands and help us to take about $100. We'll have food, but let me see your hands, please. Three or four of you, quickly. We need some help in the kitchen. Not next week, a week after next. Can we do it right now? One, two. I need two more. Two more people. Say, I'll go down and help serve lunch. Three. And Gordy. Thanks, Gordy. And please, you all meet me right here before you leave today. And Gordy will work something out for lunch in 2 weeks. All right. Everybody say amen. 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 Please turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Beginning with the first verse, please. Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse number 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt. Would you say in Egypt? We're about to read the story of the Exodus and the night of the Passover, and we're going to talk about the moment that God delivered the people of Israel from Egypt. It's called the Exodus. How many of you have seen maybe a movie or have heard about the Exodus over the years? Can I see your hands? About everybody know about the Exodus? And so for some of you, that this service has been for some of you, for me specifically, that first sentence is really important. Because it says that he spoke to them while they were still in Egypt. So if you feel like you're still in the middle of your thing, Jan, do you get it? You're in the middle of it, and God still comes and talks to you while you're still in it. That's what today's about. You're still in it, but God's going to carry you through it. I really could preach that, couldn't I? And then he said, verse 2, this month is to be for you the first month. The first month of your year. Okay, look up here. He's saying, we're going to start a new calendar. This is a new beginning. How many of you are thankful that God came into your life and said, for you, this is the new beginning. It's a brand new. How many of you are glad he does that every now and then? How many of you are glad he changes the year? This could be, today is your New Year's Day. You're saying, but it's February. I know. But God's saying, for you, this is the first day of your year. Go and get loud about that. That's big time. This is your first month, and this is the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb. Everybody say a lamb. A lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You're to determine the amount of the lamb needed in accordance with what each person's going to eat. So there's going to be enough lamb. Come on, people that know a little bit about your Bible. Jesus is the lamb. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's the lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Think of this. There's enough lamb for everybody. Somebody say everybody. No, say it just a little bit louder than that. Everybody. I stand here today in opposition to every denomination and all of Western Christianity. I stand here telling you there's enough lamb for everybody. Not just for Catholics or Lutherans or Baptists or Pentecostals, not for Episcopalians, not for Church of Christ, not for Assemblies of God, for everybody. Somebody shout everybody. Say everybody. Make sure there's enough lamb for everybody. I know folks don't like this. I know you think they need to be in a certain group, but the truth of the matter is the lamb's bigger than your group. You're to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person's going to eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. That's important. Take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them to the 14th day of the month. Let's call it January, though that's not the actual day. It's not January to the Jews, but the 14th day of January, when the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. So at evening on the 14th, we're going to slaughter the lamb. Then you're to take some of the blood. Put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lamb. That same night they're to eat the thing roasted. And now please go to verse 11. This is how you're to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Everybody say Passover. Then verse 12, on that same night I will pass through Egypt, strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. Verse 13, read it with me if you would please. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Somebody say, praise the Lord. This is the story of the Passover. It's very distinct. It's especially timely. You have to do this on the 10th of the month, and then on the 14th of the month, you make this sacrifice. You put the blood on the doorpost and over the door, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I come from a Pentecostal tradition. A part of the glory of that, part of my joy in that I was raised in, is the emphasis on Jesus. I'm a Jesus freak. I believe in Jesus. I don't believe in believing. People say, well, you got to teach people to believe. You teach Jesus, people will believe. You say, well, what about baptism? I believe in Jesus, because if you talk Jesus, people understand baptism. I'm a Jesus freak. He's the bottom of it all. He's everything. And the big deal about this story is Jesus became our Passover. It was his blood that covers us and keeps the plagues and death from us. It's the blood of Jesus that God sees when he looks at you. It's not you or anybody in your family. It isn't your pedigree. It's not your nationality, not your color, not your creed. It's the blood of Jesus that God sees. Can I exalt Jesus for just a moment? Would you help me? Because our church believes different from everybody else. There are people that put this as a part of it. No, this is the whole of it. This is all of it. Jesus is our Savior. He's the blood. He's the Lamb. He's the Passover. And from this time forward, all through Scripture, even until the book of Revelation, we read about the Lamb. In the book of Revelation, he is called the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. The people who are in heaven in the book of Revelation are people that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Big deal. Monstrous. Boone, stay with me. This is so cool. So, the Passover, in the plan of God, it's like the foundation for the story. It's the foundation for the love story. God loves us. And he starts with this idea of separating us, saving us because of the blood of a lamb. When we get to John the Baptist and he sees Jesus as Jesus is walking through the dry hills of Judea down to the Jordan to be baptized by John, John blurts out, "Behold the Lamb of God." He's not the stallion, not the sword, not the shield, not the crown. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the Lamb. So this story, this Passover idea is thick, it's important, it's crucial to your understanding that you aren't saved by what you do, you are saved by what he did. You aren't saved by your pure blood, you're saved by his pure blood. Somebody say amen. I don't want to be louder than all of you, but I'll probably be. And he says, here's what you do. On the 14th of January, 14th, that night you kill this animal, you eat, get ready to go. I'm getting you out of here tonight. I'm saving you today. This is it. 430 years to the day that the family of Israel moved into Egypt, I'm going to get you out. Timing is so crucial. It's such a big deal. Now go with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 9. Two Thursdays ago, I get up to read my Bible, open my Bible to the book of Numbers. Everybody say Numbers. I don't know how many of you studied the book of Numbers this week. All right. Nobody. How I got here, I have to confess to you, I felt in my early morning half dizziness, I opened my Bible to the book of Numbers and I opened to chapter number 9. And this is here's the big deal, Boone. First of all, how many of you believe in the Passover? How many of you believe it's a big deal? How many of you believe it points to Jesus Christ? How many of you know that when Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he took wine and he said, this is the Passover. That's the Passover meal. Communion is the Passover meal. Do you understand? Is there anybody here that, before I get deep into the next part of this message, that will confess with me, there are times when I was younger that when we were presented with the communion, I had a deep sense of consternation, fear in my heart, because I was told you had to be worthy to receive the communion, and I was afraid to participate and partake of the communion because of my personal condition. Let me see if there's anybody else that ever had a second thought about it. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, we were lied to, because the Lamb's for everybody. The Lamb's for everybody. There's enough lamb for everybody. Did you get it? It's not just for the good people. It's not just for the healthy people. It's not just for the faithful people. I'm going to help you today. Because on this 9th, now this is the chapter 9, the Lord spoke to Moses in the desert of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they came out of Egypt. So now they've been out of Egypt a year. It's now the 14th of that second year. He said, this is what God said, have the Israelites celebrate the Passover at the appointed time. Everybody say Passover. Say at the appointed time. This is God Almighty, booming voice, speaks to Moses. Celebrate it at the appointed time at twilight on the 14th day of the month in accordance with all its rules and regulations. Everybody say amen. Amen. Pretty simple. We're going to celebrate the Passover. This is the anniversary of you coming out of Egypt. And it's exact same time, exact day, and the regulations are the same. Verse 4. Moses told the Israelites to celebrate the Passover. They did so in the desert of Sinai at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. Everybody say, very good. Very good, boy. That's very good. The Israelites did everything just as the Lord commanded Moses. Come on, give them a hand. Amen. Good. That's very good. But, verse 6, some of them could not celebrate the Passover on that day because they were ceremonially unclean on account of a dead body. So they came to Moses and Aaron that same day and said to Moses, we've become unclean. Everybody say unclean. We're unclean because of a dead body. But why should we be kept from presenting the Lord's offering with the other Israelites at the appointed time? So somebody died. Somebody in their family died. They couldn't do anything about it. And they buried them. Because they buried their loved one, because they touched a dead body, they can't celebrate the Passover. They're unclean. Everybody say unclean. I want you to take your finger like this, point it right at yourself and say unclean. Unclean. Say I'm unclean. Unclean in the Bible, the leper came to Jesus and he was shouting, unclean, I'm unclean. But if you touch me, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I will. And he touched him and he made him clean. How many of you ever knew the sense, the realization that I have done wrong? I'm a sinner. I'm not right with God. My mind isn't right. My faith is low. I don't believe like I should believe. I've done the wrong thing. I'm unclean. So some people came and said to Moses, hey, we're unclean because of a dead body. We can't celebrate the Passover. One of the most wonderful verses in the Bible is verse 8. For all preachers, I wish I could publish this to every pastor, preacher, teacher, priest in the world. Moses said, wait until I find out what the Lord commands concerning you. Boy, it'd be great if all of our leaders would ask the Lord's direction before they came up with a solution. God touched President Trump. God touched the Congress. God, I pray for the Senate. I pray for the leaders, our governor. God, I'm asking you to lead them to come to you for answers that are bigger than them. In Jesus' name. Moses went to God and said, I don't know what to do with these people. I don't have a clue. We've never done this before. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites, when any of you or your descendants, not just for the moment, but you or your descendants are unclean because of a dead body, or if you're away on a journey, they may still celebrate the Passover. They are to celebrate it on the 14th day of the second month at twilight. They're to eat the lamb together with the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs. Don't leave anything to morning. Go back to the regulations. God is so exact. He's so precise. You can't break his rules and get by with it. You may not like gravity, but if you climb a ladder and decide to defy it, don't call me to pray for your ankle. Because he made rules and regulations and laws, and they're important. And he said, we're going to do this Passover. As a matter of fact, do it on the 14th day of the first month. I'm going to get you out of here that night. Listen carefully. Do not wait until February 14th. because I'm going to show up on January 14th. Don't mess with the day. I'm doing a thing. And come to the first Passover celebration, the anniversary. And there are people that are unclean and folks that have wandered away. How many of you ever wandered off? He said, all right, we'll change the rules for the losers. We'll change the rules for the unclean folk. I'm going to change the date of the Passover, and we're going to kill another lamb. We're going to shed more blood. When I read this that morning, I was so challenged, I had to lay my head down on the table. I said, this cannot be. This cannot be. There is only one Passover. There's only one getting out. There's only one Exodus. There is only one. And he said, no. Dan Brigley, do you remember what you said to me last Sunday? What'd you say? You gotta listen to this. Stand up, Dan. Listen to Dan's revelation last Sunday.
He's an accommodating God. He accommodates us.
Can you get loud? Can you say he accommodates us?
Come on, Dan. He accommodates us.
Oh, right here. No, hold this further. Go for, now shout. Shout.
He accommodates us.
He changes the rules. We're Bible college people here. We're graduates. I'm an educated man. This blows my mind. He's so precise. He's so exact. If you don't put the blood on that doorpost today, you'll be dead by morning. That's serious business this Passover. And Lauren, he said, okay, we got some unclean folk and some people that knew it was Passover and wandered off rather than face it. So let's just have another one. Let's do it again. Let's have another Lord's Supper. Matter of fact, if you need one in the morning, have another one tomorrow. Let's do it again. For who? All the righteous people? No. For the unclean folk. For the people that can't keep their direction and wander off on purpose, took a journey. So that morning, I went and bought a loaf of bread. Sparky and Mary and Terry and I were in a room together, and I said, we're taking communion. I poured a little bit of wine in a bowl and gave them all a piece of bread and said, let's take communion. Let's take communion. I just found out that we're allowed to do this as often as we need it. There's plenty blood. There's plenty forgiveness. I got to show you one more. So I got home from church, and Ray Starr, Ray, wave at me a little bit. Bible study student right there sends me this verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 30. I'll finish with this. 2 Chronicles, please, chapter 30. Nobody ever told me in all my life that God gave them the opportunity to have a second Passover because there were folks that couldn't do it the first time. I never read that. I've read my Bible through. I've studied it. I love it. But Numbers 9-11, 9-1-1, in case you're ever in an emergency, 9-1-1, have another communion. Second Corinthians chapter 30. Glory to God Almighty. Chapter 30. Hezekiah sent word to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, inviting them to come to the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover to the Lord, the God of Israel. So they're still doing this now, hundreds and hundreds of years later. The king and his officials and the whole assembly of Jerusalem decided, everybody say decided. They decided to celebrate the Passover in the second month. There was a group of people that looked back in history and they decided, if Moses could do it back there, we're going to do it again. We're going to do Passover in the second month. They had not been able to celebrate it at the regular time. Everybody say regular time. There's a regular time. There's a time. God appointed a time, but they couldn't do it in January. They decided to do it in February. And look at this. Because not enough priests had consecrated themselves. The preachers were in trouble. Look up here. Everybody go, oh my God. You don't mean the preachers. You don't mean the preachers. Not the preachers. Jesus. Preachers are not supposed to get in trouble. Pause for just a moment. I was in an organization for several years, and God had blessed me to speak at some very important meetings. It was a conference in that organization, and the title to the theme of the year was Restoration. I was asked to preach. I preached the grace of God. This place is called Grace Place. I preached that conference, and I preached that everybody needs grace. In the middle of my preaching, the place was dead silent. I'm talking about preachers, great men, many of them older than me. Nobody was even saying amen. And it dawned on me, the place was silent as I preached the grace of God. And I stopped. I preached myself right down into the middle aisle. And I said to those pastors and preachers and leaders, you don't believe this. You don't believe me. And an old man, Chad, wave your hand, about back where Chad is. An old man stood up and raised his hand, Chad, in the silence as I stood freaking out. I was scared to death. I thought I'm in trouble. Nobody believes this. This old man stood and he went, preach it. Preach it, brother. And I stood weeping at the recognition that the grace of God is often too big for religion. And as I wept, I thought I'm done. I was embarrassed. I was sick. I felt men bump my legs as they crawled by me to pray. God moved on that crowd. People fell on their faces. Then glory, the glory of the Lord. I was overwhelmed with this sense. They received it. An hour later, as I was leaving the building, a good friend of mine, you see him on TV often, Phil Muncy, came and put his arm around me and said, well, you know you're done. I said, I'm not done, Phil. We're going to restore. There's going to be a restoration. And at that conference, they voted not to restore any pastor that fell into sexual immorality. You cannot be restored to ministry. And I never went back. I was never asked to preach another meeting. I never went back. And I read here, they decided to have a Passover, but they couldn't do it at the regular time because the preachers, there weren't enough good men of God. Not enough priests had consecrated. Is this what it says? Am I on firm ground at Grace Place today? Does it say that because not enough priests had consecrated themselves and the people had not assembled in Jerusalem? They didn't have enough clean priests. The priests were in trouble. And the plan seemed right both to the king and the whole assembly. Verse 5, they decided to send a proclamation throughout Israel to Beersheba to Dan, calling the people to come to Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover to the Lord, the God of Israel. It had not been celebrated in large numbers according to what was written. Wow. Verse 13, please. A very large crowd of people assembled in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the beginning. The 15th day is the beginning of this feast. The 14th day is the Passover. The 15th is the beginning of Unleavened Bread in the second month. Well, isn't that something? 17. Since many in the crowd had not consecrated themselves, the Levites had to kill Passover lambs for all those who were not ceremonially clean. So now we got people in trouble. Does that make you breathe a little easier? We're used to people being mean, bad. But preachers, well, they ought to be perfect. Good luck, Irene. Verse 18, most of the people who came from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun had not purified themselves. Had not purified themselves. Yet, they ate the Passover. Contrary to what was written. Are you nervous? Does that make you nervous? We're talking about the Passover. Boone, we're talking about the blood. We're talking about the type of Jesus Christ. And here they're breaking all the rules. Who started it? God. God started it. God said, Moses, these people are unclean. And well, let's just do it again. Let's do it on the 14th of February. Let's have another one. I'm going to blow your mind. Verse 23. The whole assembly then agreed to celebrate the festival 7 more days. Jonathan, I found this. It's so good. We're not doing it like it says. He's accommodating us, Dan. He accommodates us. So once it got started, they said, party on, dudes. Party on. If he's going to clean us all up and make the preachers clean and the people clean and we're all going to celebrate, why don't we just keep celebrating? This feels too good. This is too much. God has made a plan. He changed the plan for all of us. And now here we are, unclean, clean, priests, Levites, all of us celebrating that he set us free. He claimed us as his own. We are heirs of God. We are in, not out. We're healed and not sick. He provides for all of us. He's going to feed us. He's going to give you something to drink. He's going to take you all the way through. This is the God we're celebrating. Welcome to February 2018. Let's party. Let's have communion. Let's celebrate what Jesus did. I'm a mess with you. Get loose. Don't be nervous. It's bigger. He did something bigger than what he wrote. I know my former Bible college teachers are spinning right now in their graves. You hook up a generator to them and they'd light half of Minneapolis right now. I know that if my dad does not consider all the scriptures that I read and just hears what I just said, my dad will be on the phone. Son, you're wrecking the entire typology of Jesus. No, I'm not. I am just repeating what God said. And he said, all of you are welcome to come again and do Passover again. So today, like they did at the Last Supper, Jesus said, take the bread and dip it with me. And they all did. And it specifically says that Judas, he said, whoever dips in this bowl with me is the betrayer. So if you've left him, if you're unclean, if you've betrayed him, then you today need to come and put that bread into this juice and let the Spirit come back into the body and receive communion today and say, he's the one that changed the rules for me. That Thursday morning, I talked in tongues, which is part of my expression. I danced, I shouted, I cried, I yelled. I ran around a little condo living room acting like a fool because I never saw Numbers 9-11. And then Ray reminded me of 2 Chronicles 30. And I'm here to preach to you today that God has made a way where there seemed to be no way. He broke his own rules so that you could participate in the blood, that you could eat his flesh and drink his blood, so that you could be filled with Jesus. He made you worthy today. You are all welcome to receive communion.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.